Hello, you word nerds. Thank you for turning on this podcast. And thanks. It's a good time we're having. Yeah. All right. This might be a little bit of a longer episode, but I'll try and not chat too much. Just looking at the way the words fall on the page, that's the way it's going to be. All right. The first word is banyan. Oh, banyan. Okay. B-A-N-Y-A-N. It is a noun from 1634. An East Indian fig tree of the mulberry family with branches that send out roots which grow down to the soil and form secondary trunks. Let's see. The etymology says this is earlier banyan Gujarati trader. Is that a person? No, I don't know. From the Portuguese banyan, which is probably from the Tamil Vanian, which means trader, from the Sanskrit Vaniha, or Vaniha, which is from a tree of the species of Iran under which such traders conducted business. Oh, so fascinating. Wow, this just got way more interesting to me. So traders would conduct business under this tree probably because it has a very wide... The branches and the leaves are very wide, so it creates a lot of like shade under it. And so they would go conduct business probably in secret. Also because so much stuff in my head. So the branches, like it said, it sends down roots from the tree into the ground. There are some roots, I think, from the trunk, but in addition, it sends out. So it's I actually have seen one of these. I've been in one of these trees in Hawaii, and it's such an interesting tree. And so you can be kind of secretive, especially at nighttime, I'm sure. You can be kind of secretive and not people wouldn't know that you were there. And so they got the word, they took the word traitor and ended up naming the tree after it. That's what I'm gathering from this information, which is just really interesting. I saw one of these banyan trees. I don't know if it's like one of the largest or something, but I don't know. That was the first and only time I've been around a banyan tree. And you know, kids are like climbing through the roots, and it's really fascinating. We're going to have to post a picture of that. Maybe I can find the actual tree and post it. All right, next we have bonsai. It is a noun from 1892. A Japanese cheer or war cry. And the etymology says it's from Japan. Next we have bonsai attack. It is two words, noun from 1944. A mass attack by Japanese soldiers in World War II. Also, an all-out, usually desperate attack. Now we have bonsai charge, two words, noun from 1942. One, synonym is bonsai attack. Number two, a determined, often reckless act. Now we have baobab or baobab, B-A-O-B-A-B. It is a noun from 1640. A broad-trunked tropical tree of the silk cotton family that is native to Africa and has an edible acidic fruit resembling a gourd and bark used in making paper, cloth, and rope. Also, any of several related trees, chiefly in Madagascar and Australia. And the scientific name is Adansonia digitata. And I actually forgot to mention the scientific name for the banyan tree, Ficus bengalensis. Okay, so we are back to baobab. I read all of that. That's good. Very, very, I'm happy for you that you did that. I've heard of these trees. If I remember correctly, I think these might be the ones that where the trunks are kind of curved. It's like they're sort of bulging out in the middle. I could be wrong, but I'll take a look and see if I can find a picture of one. All right, next we have... I guess it's just pronounced bop or bap. It is spelled B-A-P. It is a noun from circa 1575. It is British and it means a small bun or roll. Yeah, can I have a bap, please? The origin is unknown. Now we have bap or bapt. It is a capital B-A-P or B-A-P-T. It is an abbreviation for Baptist. Now we have the word baptisia. Or baptisia. It is a noun from circa 1868. Any of a genus of North American plants of the legume family having showy papilionaceous, that's not how you say it, papilionaceous flowers similar in form to those of the pea plant. Let's see, this is the genus name from the Greek baptisis, which means a dipping from the word baptine. So this, well, we're going to get into the baptism words, but that's interesting. That's what the word, where we get baptism is from the word a dipping, just dipping, or a dipping, actually, which is the Greek word baptisis. I bet all the Baptists already knew that, but I didn't. All right, so now we have baptism. It is a noun from the 14th century. Oh, obviously, yes, when you're baptized, that's you're being dipped into water. 1A, a Christian sacrament marked by ritual use of water and admitting the recipient to the Christian community. 1B, a non-Christian rite using water for ritual purification. 1C is from Christian Science, purification by or submergence in spirit. 2, an act, experience, or ordeal by which one is purified, sanctified, initiated, or named. Baptismal is an adjective, especially southern. Let's see, baptismal, bop. I guess in more southern, they'd say baptismal. That's what the pronunciation guide tells me. And baptismally is an adverb. Yes. Next we have baptismal name. It is a noun from 1711, a name given at christening or confirmation. Next is baptism of fire. It's from 1625. 1, an introductory or initial experience that is a severe ordeal, especially a soldier's first exposure to enemy fire. Number 2, a spiritual baptism by a gift of the Holy Spirit, often used in allusion to, okay, this is a Bible thing, Acts 2, 3 to 4, and MT, I don't know what MT means, 3:11. As I've said in the past, there's a lot of Christian stuff in this book. They do obviously have some stuff from other religions, but I do feel like I see a lot more Christian stuff than anything else. And, you know, that's what it is. This is the book I'm reading. Next, we have Baptist. It's a noun from the 13th century. 1, one that baptizes. 2, when it's capitalized, a member or adherent of an evangelical Protestant denomination marked by congregational policy and baptism by immersion of believers only. Baptist with a capital B is an adjective. Next is baptistry. Baptistry. It is a noun from the 14th century, a part of a church or formerly a separate building used for baptism. And next and last word, I guess it didn't take all that long. I thought it was going to take longer to get through these. Last word is baptize, B-A-P-T-I-Z-E. You could also do T-I-S-E. And yeah, again, it's telling me in Southern, it's bob, bobtize, not baptize, or bab. It's just a B instead of a P. Okay, this is a verb from the 13th century. Transitive definitions are first. 1, to administer baptism to. That is the end of that definition. 2a, to purify or cleanse spiritually, especially by a purging experience or ordeal. 2b, synonym is initiate. 3, to give a name to, as at baptism. Synonym is christen. And now we have the intransitive definition. To administer baptism. Baptizer is a noun. And let's see. The etymology says this is from Anglo-French baptiser, which is from the Latin baptizare, from the Greek baptizin, which means to dip or baptize, from baptine, which means to dip or dye, like D-Y-E. And it is akin to the Old Norse, this is interesting, Kvefa, K-V-E-F-J-A. I'm very confused by Norse words. Oh, is that what that is? Old, I think it is. O-N. Yep, Old Norse. So that word, kvefa, that means to quench. So the word of the episode is going to be banyan. That is the banyan tree from the beginning of the episode. Oh, and it shows a black and white picture of a banyan tree where, you know, there's a large trunk and then the branches spread out very far. And then there's more trunks, like skinny trunks that come down from the branches. And if you ever get a chance to see a banyan tree in person, I highly recommend that you do. And that is it for this episode. I think, let's see, today is February 25th, and I looked it up. Oh, today is Mardi Gras, and this thing is saying Shrove Tuesday, which I think is also, people also like to say Fat Tuesday. So today is the day that people are basically indulging in everything that they can. There's a lot of fatty foods, sugary foods that are being eaten, king cakes and punchkis and all that stuff. And just a lot of craziness happening because I think if I have learned correctly over my many years of not studying anything, tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent, I think, where people decide to give up something for 40 days. You can have your own opinions on that. I have my own opinions on that. And that's all I will say. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Dictionary and all the other episodes of The Dictionary. And until next time, this is Spencer reading The Dictionary. Goodbye.